Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Kingdom Mandate. Join us each Saturday as we share empowering and equipping messages that reflect on the Kingdom of God according to His sovereign will for mankind to remain in His covenant order. Get your clarion call and follow us on Blog Talk Radio, Kingdom Empowerment, Inc.
Hello.
Welcome to the Kingdom Mandate. This is Donna Ganny. You're listening to with our co-host, Belinda McKenzie, and we're extracting our titles out because we feel like that you should know us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you are listening to the Kingdom Mandate again, and we're going to take a deep dive in the Word of God. We're talking about the end times. What will it be like? And we're coming out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, last week we went through the verses 1 through 5 a little more in depth because that is an extreme point that the writer is making. Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's pointing out that there will be perilous times and perilous men. And so we went over the character of some of the traits of perilous men or women that will be present in the last days. And so we're going to go back over the full chapter again, and we're going to focus on 6 through 17 at this time. And before we begin, Minister Belinda, can you please open us up with the word of prayer as the Lord leads you by the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name?
Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, and God, we thank you for the name that you gave us, God. Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to the throne room, God, in boldness as your heirs to the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, we submit ourselves humbly, Lord God, at the Yatarabasundaribiko, at your feet, Lord. We come to Yamo Sundaribiko Shaddai. God, we pray, God, that you and your glory alone, Father, and your word, God, will be imparted, God, unto us, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding of truth that will lead us into all things, God. We come to you, God, Father, for the nation, God, for your people, Lord Jesus. We come for understanding, God. Father, enlighten us, Lord Jesus. Open our hearts and our ears and our souls to receive the word of God with full understanding, with the full knowledge of God, Father. We ask you, Lord God, because you said, if you have not asked, not, if you have not asked, God, and we're asking, God. Lord, Lord, if this is not the hour and time, God, but you said to seek you daily, God. God, be out of us, Sunday. For God, we are seeking you. according to thy will and thy mercy and thy grace, God. Father, we're seeking you, Lord Jesus, for all things. For God, we know that all things will issue out of heaven, God. That you are the God that made the heaven and earth, God. You're the provider of all things, Lord. Life is in your hands, Lord, Father. Without you, nothing would exist, God. So we give you honor, God, and we come, Lord, humbly, as your servants, God. We want to taste the good things of your word, God. We want to eat your word, God. We want to sup at your table, Lord, Father. But, Lord God, everything that you made, God, is good, Lord, Father. And God, you said you came to give us life and life more abundantly. And God, we know that your word is the source of all abundance and life to our mind, soul, body, and our strength, God, comes from you, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you, God, for your presence that will be in the midst of us, Lord. We thank you, God, for all things, Lord, that thou hast given us, Lord, Father. And in this hour, God, we ask, God, that your revelations, your knowledge, God, come forth, God. Lord, expand this word, God, to us and give us full understanding, Lord Jesus. God, you said, seek you daily, God. And we have kept that promise, Lord, Father. But, Lord, your word prepares us for perilous times. It prepares us, God, for what man calls tragedy. To you, it's just a stepping stone, God. But, God, you are God that is infinite, God. Infinite power, God. Infinite wisdom and knowledge and understanding, God. You are my son that I call. Lord, all things, God, is in your hands, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you cover us with your blood. And that there's power in the blood of Jesus, God. But God, we know these things because we seek your word, and your word says it. Your word is truth, God. The abrazo is the only truth, sustainable to hold an individual. The abrazo that we call must see in the So this hour we come, God, hungered and thirsting after your righteousness, Lord, that we be filled, God. We're hungering after you, Lord God, desiring, God, your word. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for all things, Lord God. We thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, we call it done. Amen.
Amen. And bless the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray that it's healed by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we started out again with this 1 through 5 last week, so you can go back and listen in to our discussion on that. But it says in the first verses, I'm going through from the first verse on out through 17, it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away from with diverse lust, ever leaning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so that those also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to continue on. It says that they were reprobate concerning the faith. But in the 9 it says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as there also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for the doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, so I've read 2 Timothy 3, and that is the word of God. That is the word of God about the last days. It's not something that I'm making up, but it is a topic that we're talking on, because it gives a picture of what it's like, going to be like, and what it's like in the last days. It said perilous times shall come, but it also gives a picture of what perilous men or women may look like at that time. And so again, we read through, we went over 1-5 last week, so we're not going to focus there. You're welcome to go back and listen into that and get the full scope of what we spoke about the last days and how it is written in the Word of God. So we're going to talk about verses 6, primarily verses 6 right now, and 7 and I'm definitely going to hit number 8. But number 6, it says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. And how easy is that now, Minister Belinda, that we can see that this can occur? I mean, we have television, we have commercials. In my day and time, you wouldn't see a woman, her belly and her arms and her legs. And I'm not trying to say let's go back in time, but, you know, how easy is it for men to lead someone captive now with, you know, women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust?
Well, it's easy when you're not in God's word. It's easy when you're not rooted and grounded in God, and you don't know the character or the word of God and what God says stay away from. So if I'm not attentive to God, then I'm easily open to the lust of the world, the mindset, you know, and I'll follow it. So he says, you know, silly, I'm not wise. Because God says to seek his wisdom and his knowledge and his understanding. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not after that, then I'm void of it. So I'm now myself silly, and I'll accept I will be in a sinful state. You know, I will, it's okay to just, I mean, they wearing like tops that are like bras, and you know, there's no, I mean, out there.
Minister Belinda, I'm not so much looking at the fact of the dress style right now, but I'm more concerned about what is leading individuals into a captive state of thinking that, you know, which is contrary to the word of God, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I think the influences out there that we have the media, we have the commercials, we have movies, we have music that portrays a look of what someone wants someone to appear like. We have all of these things out there now, and it's very seductive to the mind. You know, the Bible, we were talking about last week about seducers, you know, in 1-5, it talks about seduction. So how did it get to that state of mind to where it there's an appearance like it's okay, whereas the Bible is telling women to dress a different way, but now it has become a thought and a mannerism and a way of thinking that it's okay to do it. Now, to me, I'm looking at the influence of it all. What is leading them? It says they were led away with diverse lusts. How did they become captive to this influence? And also, too, to allow these different characters to come into to be creep into their environment, and as a strong man doesn't have entry unless you give him entry. And like you said, that it is so true that if your mind is stayed up on the things of God, of course that wouldn't happen. And I can say from experience, the more closer you get to God, the less you have these thoughts in your mind. So that is true. But I'm looking at the things that we see now that is leading people into that captivity to think in such a way and not have a cutoff barrier that says, oh, Holy Ghost is saying move this way. Holy Ghost is saying no to this. You know, the conviction of the Holy Ghost is setting in on the heart and the mind. And, you know, making you search out in the word of God, what's wrong with this God, you know, so he can bring clarity of what is him and what is not him. So let's look at the influence of all of this. As we always want to look at the devil behind it that's leading the individuals into captivity.
Well, you know, the devil has an agenda. You know, he has a kingdom, and he moves things, like you say, through the TV, through the radio, through, you know, internet, all the places that are access, a doorway to people's lives. So, I mean, he has that agenda, and he will seduce people.
Yeah.
But go ahead. So
now we'll get to the solution later of all of this about how we can move away from these type of things. In 7, you know, it says, ever leaning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, I look at it as like, you know, the miry clay, you know, because we see so, you know, many other people dipped off in the miry clay. It looked like it's okay. So people are just jumping into the miry clay. And I think the deeper that you begin to sink off into this miry clay, you know, it's kind of hard to come out of it because your soul is intertwined in it. He said diverse lust. It wasn't just one form of lust with an S. Diverse lust with a S behind it. And so it's talking about dimensional effects that is going on in the soulish realm here that is drawn to the point where a person becomes less knowledgeable of the truth. They're sinking into it. What would you have to say about this?
Well, the Word of God tells us, you know, when you say that they're falling into it, but God tells us how to stay out of it, you know, and if you don't listen to God and you don't have the knowledge, you can't see the traps, you can't see the miry, you know, that clay, that place of bondage, and the state of a person gets worse.
Absolutely.
You know, they never come into the knowledge of God. If you could have your Bible, you could be reading, but if you're not allowing God's wisdom to anchor you, you know, to go in you, it's like everything's on the outside, but nothing's going inside. You know, you have people that hold the Bible, they take it to church, but they're not really invested in it. They listen to a sermon, but they're not absorbing the Word of God. It has to go in order for it to produce what God says, in order for us to get to, he says, like a tree planted by still waters, where its roots are deep in there. Why did God give that example? You know, if a tree doesn't have roots, when the wind comes, it's going to uproot it. If it doesn't have enough roots, it's not going to get access to the water that will nourish it to keep it alive. If we don't take this and absorb it, if I just learn, but I read, but I don't pray to have God's wisdom, his understanding, his knowledge. God, what are you saying? Give me your understanding. God, increase me. Help me. You know, it's not going in. It's just you're learning, but it's nothing producing.
Absolutely, never producing any clear fruits. You go one step forward and you take several of them back. Right. And it's like being off in a cycle of deceit, never overcoming. Because you intertwined with your soul, your emotional realm, and in your thoughts and your desires, and it becomes very difficult to break out of it. And if we're not careful, when the Holy Ghost is convicting us, we become reprobate, according to Romans chapter 1, because, you know, the Bible says that we are without excuse because he has revealed himself in his very creation. So it's not even someone who's a Christian or someone who has knowledge of the Word of God that is going to be judged by it, because it says we have no excuse because he's revealed in his own creation. But it's a matter of choice, because even though Eve was beguiled, you know, she had a choice. She had a choice not to listen to that slithering serpent in her ear. She had a choice. You know, and we as the body of Christ have to begin to make sound choices that are evident that Christ is in us and with us. Emmanuel. Amen. And the only way we can do that is to begin to open up our eyes through the Word of God and see what is God and what is not God in this hour. If we truly want to be his and walk in the light of our Lord, the way that he, you know, that path that he has given us to walk on, not our own choice paths, because those are broadened paths that lead to destruction. And verse 8, it says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith.
That
reprobate, Yeah, that's a whole word right there. Because Janus and Jambres, according to the historical documents, is like they were magicians that were withstanding Moses. But now the only way that could have happened is that God allowed it because he wanted to show his great power in the end. Okay, so that's the only way that it could have happened, that they were able to withstand Moses, is because God was waiting to show his great power in it all. And later on it did happen that God showed his great power, because all of those things were swallowed up in the Red Sea in Jesus' name. So it says, so do these also resist the truth. They resist the truth. They resist anything that is truthful about Jesus Christ. They resist it in their because their minds are corrupted. The minds are just totally corrupted. And, you know, he said, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, when we get to a reprobate stage according to the Word of God, and I just want to read this. I feel like we have to interject this in here. Go ahead and share your thoughts, and then I'll come back to Romans chapter 1, because I think it's important to get this in here, what the Bible is saying. Go ahead. Go ahead and share your thoughts.
They were stood Moses. They didn't accept what Moses was saying. They went against what Moses was doing, and they resisted the truth. So these are several characteristics God's telling us. If we resist the truth, then the truth cannot help us. Men, and it will corrupt our minds, men of corrupt minds. God makes our minds righteous and holy. But the opposite is corruption, corrupt minds. Reprobated concerning faith. You will go to a place of that continuous rebellion till you don't want to hear anything God says. You will not do what God says. So you turn to a reprobated mind because of your choices. Like Donna, Sister Donna said, there was a choice in the garden. God gave Adam instructions and told his wife, you know, Adam, to, you know, tell your wife. She made a choice. Adam made a choice. People say that Eve corrupted him. No, he had the choice because he had the full knowledge not to do it. So, I mean, if you don't, and it's like, even if you're in the world, God's still compelling people. He's telling them, come out. But if you choose to not hear the voice of the Lord when he comes to you, then you're accepting something else. Just like we can get roots and strong in God, we can get strongholds. The enemy will sow tares in us and put strongholds on to us. Like Donna said, it becomes almost impossible. You're so deep down in there. Only a living God can get you out. And if God says you're at a reprobate mind, he's not coming.
He's judging.
Because of choices.
And repentance is always the best solution to everything, and turning away from those dark ways certainly will keep us away from, you know, following after a reprobate mind, because it's very important in this hour that we attain to the things of God. Now, in Romans chapter 1, I'm just going to read verse 28, but I suggest that every born-again believer out there, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, read it and get the fullness of what Apostle Paul is saying there. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient." Verse 29, "being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, this is, again, the word of God. All word is inspired by God. Okay. And so when the Apostle Paul wrote this under the Holy Ghost, he's trying to bring correction here and to let people know there's a nature out there that is not, that moves you into reprobation with God, that doesn't give you access to that the kingdom of God, that breaks you out of the salvation stages of that God is offering you. And again, the answer is repentance. To come out of this nature is repentance. Break away from it while there is time to do so, that you can walk on the narrow path and be led under the will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's in his word. Jesus Christ is the word, John 1. And so he said, you know, they had men of corrupt minds, reprobate, meaning, you know, when the Bible says reprobate or abomination, that is serious. When it says blaspheme, that is serious, especially when we begin to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, when someone is speaking by the Holy Ghost, when someone is moving by the Holy Ghost. And let me give you an example of that. Here's Peter. And here's Ananias and Sapphira, and they come up to him, and they're lying to him. And the Holy Ghost is in Peter. It wasn't Peter who did it. It was the Holy Ghost that was in him that judged them immediately, and they went to death. And this is out after after Jesus Christ. So I think the body of Christ have to come to a clarity of understanding of where we are in this judgment phase. There's things that are going on, and that will go on under the will of God until there's repentance, till people turn their heart to God, okay? When the perilous times, when we look at perilous times, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning stages, and I'm praying that the Lord will, you know, come and take his children with him, and I hope that everybody out there that is listening want to be a child of God, because if you do want to be a child of God, you'll be seeking his appearing and desiring for him to come. And 9, it says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So the exposure time is going to come during the perilous time. Exposure will come. Some people probably won't care that they're being exposed because they feel like they can do whatever they want to. But when the judgment manifests after exposure, okay, and that's in the physical now, not before you go to heaven, okay? So do you want to experience judgment in earth is the question. These things will begin to manifest. And I can bring other scripture that makes that applicable. Minister Belinda, also in 10, it says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. So he's talking again to a people who has known the doctrine, manner of life. You have known his manner of life. You have known his purpose. You have known his faith. You have known his long suffering. You have known his charity and his patience. He said you have known his persecutions, afflictions, which came on him in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. He said, you knew the persecutions that he endured. He said, but out of them all, the Lord delivered him. Okay, so the body of Christ, the ones that are walking and seeking the kingdom of God, those that are seeking his righteousness right now, you know, he's adding unto you, he will deliver you out of all. And nothing happened to Paul until God, until Jesus said so. Okay?
Amen.
When it's not your time, it's not your time. It's not your time, it's not your time. You will fulfill your time in Jesus' name. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to suffer it. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And we all know in Revelation, it says they overcame by the word of their testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Minister Belinda, I'll let you interject there.
Okay. Verse 9, I want to say something about that. It says, but they shall seed no father, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs also was. You look at that word. This is God's word, and God is speaking this. You know, because it was inspired by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God. He says, after this reprobate mind, they go no father. You can't continue no father. It's God saying this time is over. There's nothing else. That's a serious thing for God to say. Because without God's power, you cannot live. You can't access nothing. We are given access when we eat food. God allows that food to nourish us. When we take medicine, God allows that medicine to work. If he holds everything in his hand, when God says you will go no further, that's a serious thing. And he's talking about, you know, when he says that we're going to be persecuted, that's guaranteed. We have to accept that. As long as you serve God, you will be persecuted. But you will suffer things, but you will come out of them all.
Yeah, they will mock you. They will mock you because if you teach about Jesus, they will mock you. If you do anything about Jesus, they will mock you. If you serve Jesus, they will mock you. They will want to persecute you more so than mocking. They will want to persecute you. They will want to throw you in a pit just as they did with Jeremiah. But when it's God's timing, they cannot touch you until God say. So keep your trust and your faith in the Lord.
Yes. He says, remember, everything you learn from God, from the Word of God, you stay. You maintain it, whether everything is falling apart. And it's evident now that things are getting crazy, and people are just lovers of themselves, not even caring that the warnings that go out, they want it. I listened to something this morning, And these young people were saying, well, I'm living for the day. I don't care. I said, Lord, how ignorant. But when that individual falls in dire sickness, then they'll hear how serious it is. But that might be too late. But he's saying, remember, he said, 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Jesus Christ. Well, if you're locked down in God, you know the Scriptures, you maintain it, which will keep you unto salvation. to the end of this thing, through which it is in Jesus Christ. It's in him, not out of him, in him. And I love 16 because you're hearing a lot of this foolishness. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Now, we heard everything that was outside the spirit, you know, that a wicked man will become more wicked. It told the characteristics, the spirit that would be out, that is not of God. It's not the characteristic of God. It's not the word of God. So it's the opposite. And people are saying, well, you know, man wrote the Bible. That's not what God said. That's not what God says. You cannot partake of it. You cannot. You put up a barrier to not absorb or to hear God. When you say, well, oh, man, it wasn't written by God. It was written by man. That's not what the word of God says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Rejecting, refusing that which can keep you, can save you, heal you. Everything that is in the word of God and everything that's in God is the answer. Repentance, to repent is an answer. This is a powerful chapter. But that's all I have, Donna.
Amen. Absolutely. And I think we have shared the word of God and have brought it in as pure as it is, as word for word, what the word of God says. And, you know, in 16 it says all scripture. And that means every part of this Bible is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. It is God's breath to mankind for life. And it's a manuscript. It's a guide to keep you on the right path before the Lord, mm-hmm. so that you will inherit the kingdom of heaven, that you will be able to rule as sons and daughters of the Most High God, that you will be an heir through the Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because there's no other way. There's no other way. The Bible says that if you walk by the Spirit and are led by the Spirit, you will inherit the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. There's no other way. And you cannot walk by the Spirit and be doing other things that are contrary to the will of God. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. Yep. You will be out on the outer courts, and the outer courts is death.
Amen.
Even though that you're walking and you're doing it day by day, you still will be on the outer courts. And that's how you will be viewed, not by man, but by God. Because God will judge you by his word. He's not going to judge you by how you feel and what you think, what applies to self. He's not going to do that. He's going to judge you by his word.
Yeah.
And we can look at how he judged his chosen people. We can look at that and look at that as an example of what is coming.
Mm-hmm.
What is coming? What is already here?
Yep.
We can look at it as an example. Now, am I saying that everyone that has died now that they were no, I can't say that. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that anyone that has died is wicked or that they are not of God. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that because God may be taking you away from all of this the things that are getting ready to come. God may be taking you home away from it. I don't know that. But what I'm saying is that while you are living, and if you have not repented, if you haven't given yourself to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you haven't accepted him as your Lord and chosen him as your Lord and surrendered unto him as your Lord, are you truly born again? Because he told Nicodemus, Nicodemus knew the word, he knew the law, he was a ruler over the word. According to John chapter 11, he was a ruler over it. John chapter 3, he was a ruler over it. And Nicodemus, here he is, he's telling him that he must be born again. So it wasn't the fact that he knew the word. Did he have a relationship with God? Was he submissive to that relationship with God? That when the Holy Ghost said, move right, he moved right. Was he submissive to it? That when the Holy Ghost said, sit down, he sat down. Was he submissive to the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
And did he understand the word of God to know that it was the Holy Ghost and not some other type of force coming into his mind? And was it deep down in his spirit, or was it surfacing from some other force out there? Hello? Because there's a whole lot of things going out there, and people are saying that the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. But I beg to differ if you have a lifestyle different from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I beg to differ. Because if you're a child of God, you're going to want to line up with his word.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be trying to seduce someone, and you're not seducing yourself. In your mind, making you think that the Lord is telling you something, but you're doing living a different act and way. No way. God is God, mm-hmm. and God is lined up with his word. God is have a sovereign will and a sovereign way that is lined up in his word. And how about Moses in the book of Exodus 33? He didn't take his relationship with God as that, oh, I have done all of these things in Egypt, and I brought all of the Egyptians, chosen children of Israel out of Egypt, so I am great and I am better. No, he was in Exodus 33 saying, Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know thy ways. Even after Amen. He had divided the Red Sea, even after he had loosed water out of a rock, he's still saying, Lord, let me know thy ways that I might find favor in your sight. He was humble to the Lord, seeking more.
Yes, Lord.
Seeking his face in it all. So that's what I will say is the solution to the body of Christ, the word of God. I will go back again and say it again. The word of God is our answer. The fullness of it, not the sweet sounding good verses that make you think that, oh, it's okay. Oh, it's okay that I do this, and oh, it's okay that I do that. We need the full word of God. The children of God need the full word of God so that they can align to the truth and spirit of the living God. That's
Amen.
The answer.
Amen.
Because it was only 8 souls in the ark with Noah. Only
Amen.
8 souls in the ark with Noah in that day.
Yep.
How can it be only 8 souls out of the whole world was in the ark with Noah?
Amen. Amen.
Minister Belinda, please share your final words with the body of Christ as the Lord leads you and by the Holy Ghost.
You know, God makes a cry, and it's in this chapter 2, you know, and like Sister Donna, one man got instructions from God, Noah. In all those years, he was faithful. And all through those years, they were marrying, doing what they wanted to do. But God spoke a word, and it came to pass. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And the flood, the water rose. You know, some of them probably didn't even think nothing. No, it was just a little water. We, you know, they didn't know water. But when it kept rising and rising, you can't stand on nothing. And it's deeper and deeper. That's real. You know, God is saying perilous times is coming. And we're seeing a little bit of it now. And people are running to and fro, trusting on the natural things. But what happens when the natural thing is gone? And like the word is saying, so we are going to be judged by this word. There was a beginning and there will be an end. God says he is the Alpha. When you were born, God knew you. And when you leave here, God will stand before you. But there's hope for those that will hear the word of God. It's not a form of godliness. He's not accepting no form. He's accepting people that will live by this word, the whole, all of it. You can't dissect God's word and say, well, I could do this. The word says you can't. And when you live in a surface relationship and not in a depthness, you are vulnerable. Because when all hell breaks loose and you have denied the power of God, it will take the power of God to survive, to overcome. And this word is the power of the living God. It will keep you from fear. It will keep you from panic. He said he will keep us. As long as we abide in this word, abide in Jesus Christ, and we're holding on to God, not natural things. He will provide all those things. And like Sister Donna, when your hour comes, it's God's decision. Unless you're out there in that other spirit, he has dominion over you. Only the blood can cover you. Only God. And he said there ain't but one way. And that door is through Jesus Christ of Nazareth, him crucified. If you try to come any other way, you're a thief. You can't access it. You can't if you repent and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and accept the word of God as it is.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to say this to the body of Christ as well, is that, you know, this greater than other people and tearing them down without scriptural basis, is not of God. It's
Amen.
Not of God. If you preach the word of God alone, it will show who's who and what's what, you know. And God will expose the false things himself, you know.
Yeah.
He will bring it out. He will slay it with the breath of his mouth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it will come out. The main thing that the body of Christ need to focus on right now is self. You know, if you're looking at someone else to compare by, to say that you're greater and they're lesser because of their surroundings, because of their children, because of, you know, the structure they live in, because of the car they drive and the clothes they wear and all of those things, you're doing the work of the devil. It's flat out. You're just doing the work of the devil. And in order for you to be right with God is the focus on self. And the Bible says that we should know, examine ourselves, that we prove ourselves not to be reprobate. examine ourselves by the word of God. Examine yourself by the word of God to prove yourself not to be reprobate. When you're examining others, you are out of the faith. You are out of the faith. You're debating on things, just as we were saying in Romans chapter 1, you bring in debate that is not of God. If you are doing those things, it is time for you to repent and ask God to bring you, to save you, to save you. If you're not bringing reference to the word of God in general for the whole population to bring change, you're out of the word, you're out of the work of God. You're not doing the work of God. You're just not there. Okay, so we need to come back to the word of God, and you know the way that we get on that right path is through the word of God, and it's an individual walk. It's not a walk where the husband and wife is going on the same path together. You may be in fellowship together, but it's an individual walk to get into heaven. It's not that your children are going to be on the same path with you. It's an individual walk, and everybody has to make choices on that walk. What we can do is we can share the word of God in the truth and spirit of the Lord and pray that the right choice will be made, but it's an individual walk. Okay, so let us get on that right path with Jesus Christ that leads to salvation, that we might enter into the right gate. Because every gate has a government. Every gate has a government to it. And for us to enter into the right gate, the narrow gate, it is going to take a whole lot to get off in there. And let us work on it. Let us strive for it. As Paul said, he was striving to reach the unattainable level. It should be the same for every believer. Your own struggle to reach the higher heights in God, to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Body of Christ, it's the time to wake up and realize that there are perilous times. And the Bible says in 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we already know by the word of God that is coming, it should not hold us captive in fear, because it's not for you. It's not your portion, because your portion, the Lord is your portion in the land of the living.
Amen.
The Lord is your Amen. Portion in the land of the living. So why would we fear? We are rather, you know, caught up in the fact that the word of God is true. Amen. We're rather caught up in the fact that our Lord is coming, and we're going to have joy, peace, and happiness in the kingdom of God. And I just want to encourage everybody out there that it's a visual picture of what's going on in the last days, but it shouldn't be something that puts you into trauma and chaos and fear and all of these things that, you know, are happening out there. We're not susceptible to this. We know that the kingdom is known for surviving. The children Amen. Of God are known for surviving. You know, all through the things that they went through, eventually the Lord came in and he ushered them out when they repented. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Minister Belinda, can you pray for the body of Christ as we close out here in Jesus' name?
Amen. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus, God, we come again to your throne room, God, in boldness, because you said we're heirs to the kingdom of God, but we come in humble submission to you, Lord. We ask you, Lord God, I pray for the body of Christ, that they will stand fast, God, unmovable in the word of God, knowing all things are in the Father's hand. And God, that he knows us, God, he knows every individual where they are. Lord, we glorify you in your word, God, because your word is powerful, Lord. We deny not the power of the living God is able to sustain his people, God. I pray, God, that they will grow wiser, God. They will grow greater in understanding. And, God, that they will be warriors at this time and in the future, God. We will be conquerors, Lord, Father, conquering all things, overcomers of all things, God. Because you said we could, God, that we will access the things, God, that you have for us, Father. I pray, God, that their minds be steadfast on the word of God. Father, that our hearts be anchored in the word of God. I pray, God, that their hands will be glorifying you. God, in perilous times, they will still lift up their hands and praise the almighty God that they serve. God, I pray, Lord, that you will be God in your majesty and in your power that's infinite, God. Lord, there's nothing that you cannot do, God. And we glorify your name, Father. Let your people glorify you, God. Let them praise you even more so, God. Let them stay steadfast in your word, God. Our curse. The enemy, if he tries to lurk around them, God, we curse it in the name of Jesus, Father. And God, whatever they have need of, God, Lord, meet their needs, God. For you are our provider, Lord Jesus. Let them have peace, God, and stand in the peace that you said to stand in, knowing that you will see us through, just as you saw Moses and your Hebrew children through the wilderness, God. You provided for them, God. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord. You are our Father, Lord. And God, you're the God that seen Jesus through the crucifixion, God, and raised him from the dead, God. You're the God that told Lazarus after he had been dead for days, come out, Lord. That's the God that we serve, Father. We honor you because you said to fear you, God, the Amaha. We do, God, it told us this. Stand steadfast for what we know and we have learned. Let the body of Christ be reminded who their God is and who they've been serving. You're not a Sunday because Sunday be king. You're not just a Sunday God. You're everyday God, Father. Do all things, God, no matter what befalls us, God. You said that you are our Father, the Alpha. Lord, I pray, God, that your people will hold on to your word and they'll stand strong and sing the praises of God. Lord, we are the bearers of the light, Father. Here, let our light shine, God. In the times of darkness, Lord. God, you hear us, Lord Jesus. God, we dare not. And every form of darkness, God, let it be. Lord, God, let it have no effect. No effect. Every device, every hidden agenda, God, let it have no effect. Lord, let it be cursed by the very root, God, that it cannot grow. It cannot. And Lord, every door, God, that he tries to sneak through, God, shut it down and seal it. Seal it up, Lord. Because you said whatever door, God, you shut, no man can open it. No devil can open it. And anything you seal, God, no man can unseal it, God. God, we warn angels with a flaming sword, God, to go amongst your people, God, and to stand guard over everything that they have, God. Here on our Sunday, one angel was able to kill 1,000. So every God on our Sunday, in the name of Jesus, God.
Amen.
And we call it done, God. We do not deny thy power, Lord. But God, you said, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, you said that one word, not one word, the word, God, your parents. Heaven and earth will perish before your word, God. That's how strong your word is, Father. For Jesus. And the devil and the blood and the doctor have oh God, as soldiers of yours, God, unmovable, we come to every force, God, that tries to come to your people, God. You will have protect. You are destroyed by the word of God in the name of Jesus. For all power is given to him and put you under the feet where you belong. How all of a hundred before Shandarakai. In the name of Jesus, God. God, every door, God, that is meant for your people, open it, God. But let them get instruction, God, whether they need to, how they need to go through, when they need to go through, or if that door is an access for your people, Lord Jesus. Be alota in the name of Jesus. God says, be alert. Be alert. Don't slumber and sleep. Be alert to my word. Stand on my word. Stand with the mighty power of my word. In the name of Jesus, God, and we call it done. Amen.
Amen. So before we close out, I want to talk about some of the devices and schemes of the enemy that will be used in this hour against the body of Christ, and that is trauma. Trauma of the mind, spirit, body, and soul. And you can be traumatized by what you hear, what you feel, what you smell, what you taste. What you see, and when those things enter into your spirit, it becomes very difficult for you to overcome them. And the way that we overcome is we shut those gates out. We shut those outer gates that enter into our soul. We shut those outer gates that enter into our soul. We do not allow the enemy to control what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, and what we feel. We allow the Holy Ghost to control, the Holy Ghost that sits on the throne of our heart to press against the soul and to press and keep them outer gates governed by the will of God. And that comes by that word of God and that communication with God, getting that revelation from God, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding directly from God. Amen. So I want to now open up the lines. We do have callers on the line. I want to open it up and give you an opportunity to share your insights, or if you have any prayer requests, or anything that the Lord has led you to say, feel free to do so at this time. Thank you. The line is open. Please announce your name and where you're calling from. Callers, if you have anything you would like to share at this time, if you have any insights to perilous times or anything that the Lord has laid up on your heart, feel free to say so now. The line is open. Okay, so then we'll be moving forward. Our next week we'll be coming out again on the Kingdom Mandate. the end times and what will it be like? What will it be like? Stay tuned. We'll be sharing our topic on Blog Talk Radio / Kingdom Empowerment Inc. Follow us there and stay informed, or you can go to @KEIFM_radio on Facebook and Twitter to keep informed of the upcoming broadcast that will be coming out as well. We do thank you for listening in. And we say that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is an opportunity for you to get to know him. And one thing I will say is just, you know, start reading your Bible and start talking to God sincerely, that you want to know him, that you want him to open up your spirit to read his word and to be able to receive from him, that you want to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, that all things that he has for you will be added. And now, it doesn't mean that God is going to add houses and cars to you and all of these things of this world, but we hope that you are seeking him, his righteousness, that you may will be added more into the kingdom, that the Holy Ghost will increase inside of you. His wisdom, knowledge, and understanding will increase inside of you. His divine revelation will enrich you and empower you and equip you for the days to come. In Jesus' mighty name. And I want to say God bless everyone. We thank everyone around the world for listening in, and may he empower and equip you for the days to come in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you all. Thank you, Minister Belinda.